All right, we're talking about the gift of peace this morning. Let me stop right here. There's one thing I need to do. I promised a family last night that we would pray for them as a church family today. So I'm going to do this in all three services. We have a family that's attending here. Children are in student ministry. And there's a young girl, she's 14 years old. Her name is Riley Brooks. And I want us to pray for Riley. Riley is in Houston. She's at MD Anderson. They have diagnosed her with stage 4 cancer. The tumor in her is growing extremely fast. It's causing all kinds of issues and difficulty with them being able to minister to her and to take care of her. And so the mom, of course, is LaDonna, is just heartbroken as they are walking through this as a family. And so I'd like for us just to stand before the Lord and that we'll intercede and pray for Riley, pray for wisdom for the doctors, pray that God would just do a work that will allow them to be able to remove this tumor so that they can give her the treatment that she needs to fight it elsewhere in her body. So, Father, this morning we want to hold up before you Riley, her mom LaDonna, the whole family, Riley's twin sister. Father, we know this doesn't come from you. We know that cancer is a part of the brokenness of our world. Disease is a consequence of sin. Not necessarily overt actions of our lives, but because sin is present in these bodies, our bodies are broken and we're subject to disease. And so we want to pray this morning for Riley. Father, we ask for a healing hand on her body. We stand together as a family and our eyes are on you. We turn our heads and our hearts toward you, Father, that you would grant peace to this family, that you would give them the emotional peace that they need, that you're with them, that you would just let them know you're there and you will take care of them. We ask you that you would grant Riley life. That's our request, that you, Father, if you choose to use medicine and doctors, then we ask your hand a blessing. We would pray even now that you would do a marvelous thing of healing grace, that you would just touch her sovereignly and rebuke this disease and grant her life to serve you in the kingdom. And so, Father, bless this family, grant them your peace, give the doctors wisdom, and open the doors to take care of this little girl, this young girl, and we'll thank you, Father, in Christ's name, amen and amen. There are two passages I want us to look at this morning, and they're in your notes. It's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and John 14, 27, and I've given them to you there in your life point outline. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And his name shall be called Prince of Peace. Then John 14, 27, our Lord speaking, and he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid. That is such a blessed promise that the Lord gives us there. So let's just break that apart a little bit. You know, all of us are in conversations with people every day. We're around people at different ages and different stages of life and get into conversation with them. And what I want you to think about, as I've thought about so much this week in preparing this message, when was the last time that you just had a sense, because as you've been around them over a period of time and you've heard them talk about their life, you've heard them talk about all kinds of things that are going on in their life. When was the last time you've been around somebody and you just really sensed as you were talking with them that they had total peace? That they were just at peace? Or that maybe there was some part of their life where they were really struggling and they were needing the peace that only the Lord could give. Usually we have a need of peace in about three different areas in our life. We have a need for peace within ourselves, just that internal peace, that you're just at peace, if you will. And then you want peace between you and someone else. And then, of course, above everything else would be what the Bible talks about, and that's having peace with God, that you're at peace with Him. And that if you were facing an incurable disease, that even though you might not be ready, feel like that you were ready to leave, you are not afraid of breathing your last breath. You're not afraid of stepping across into eternity and all of a sudden finding yourself in the presence of your Creator, the one who formed you in your mother's womb. You were not afraid because why? You were at peace with Him. You were at peace with Him. And so the insight I want to give you in your outline is this. Peace is a gift of Christmas, but a reality that few people experience. And that's really what this is about. I want to equip you, and I want us all thinking, we don't know what opportunities God is going to give us in the days ahead, particularly during this Christmas season, when we will be able to share with people what God is going to give us this morning. And so I really hope that you'll hang tight with your life point outline and just really think about the things that God's wanting to give us here, because I just believe this is from Him to you and me. About 700 years before the Lord was born, before the first Christmas, the prophet Isaiah predicted that the Savior of the world was going to come. And it's interesting that when Isaiah chose to identify Him and to talk about what kind of a Savior He was going to be, one of the first things that he called the Lord Jesus was the Prince of what? Peace. Said He is the Prince of Peace. And at the very first Christmas, when the angels appeared to the shepherds out on the hillside, and you remember that, we read that every year from Luke chapter 2, they begin to say, or to sing, however you want to put that, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And you just find that coming up again and again and again. One of the things that is always connected with Christmas is this idea of peace. Peace comes to us through Christmas. Jesus, when He launched His own personal ministry, John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, I am giving you, listen, and this is what He wants to give to you and to me. He wants to give us the gift of peace. That's what He's wanting for you. And He says, I'm giving you the gift of peace, the kind only I can give. It comes from Him. And the peace that our Lord Jesus gives, and people are looking for it, the peace that the Lord Jesus gives can't be replicated by any other person, by a pill, or by a bottle, you know, filled with mind-numbing alcohol. You can't get peace anywhere else except through whom? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to do is I want to open God's Word about the peace that only Jesus gives and how we get it. Now, I don't know what kind of year that you've had, but I can tell you this. My Savior and the God who is the Savior of the world doesn't want any of us going into 2023 full of stress and worry and anxiety. And we're in a broken world, right? We're in a very broken world. And yet the Lord says that there is a peace that He wants to give us. It comes through Him. And so here's the insight in your outline. There are three kinds of peace, and all of us need each of them at times in our lives. Number one is spiritual peace. That means the peace that we have with God. Then number two is emotional peace. And that's peace that I have with inside myself. It's just I am at peace. And then number three is relational peace. And that's the peace that you have with others. The peace that can be between a husband and a wife, or a parent and a child, or between friends, or whatever. Relational peace. And so let's break this down. Number one is peace with God, which is spiritual peace. Of course, this is where we have to begin. You and I know, as we've gone through life, we know when we get out of a relationship with another human being. We know when a relationship with someone is kind of, I'll call it out of whack, all right? It's just not the way it ought to be. And it's difficult to hide tension between yourself and somebody else. Would you agree with that? You know, it's difficult to hide tension when it's there between you and your spouse. You know, you may not be saying anything. You may not talk ugly to each other, but you're in the same house with another person and things are just not right, and you know it and they know it. Nobody's talking about it, but you know it's there. Their peace is not there. When you are at outs with, you don't have peace between yourself and a friend. Both of you know it. It's just there. Someone at work, a schoolmate or whatever, you know when things are just not right. And strain in any relationship robs us of peace. And I want you to think about that with regards to our Creator. Nothing strips our daily peace. Nothing strips and affects my walk through life than when my relationship with my Creator, the one who formed me in my mother's womb, the one who is with me 24/7 and is all around me, the one who made this world, when my relationship with Him is out of whack, I know it. Would you agree with that? And you know it as well. You know when it is not right. And the first thing Jesus came to do is restore the relationship between you and me and Him. That's why Jesus came. And I just want us to remember that. That's how we really celebrate Christmas. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God sent Christ to make peace between Himself and us. And so the Father, listen, God wants everything between us and Him to be all right. Isn't that good news? Amen. He wants it to be right. And why do you and I need that? Because you and I were all born at odds with our Creator. From the time that we were born, the time we drew our first breath, the Bible says we were at odds. There was something between us and Him. And God's mercy has been, from the moment of our birth, God has been working through circumstances of our life and of our days to, first of all, draw us to Him. This is the premier step in finding peace in our life. And that is being led to the point in our life where we get things right with the God who formed us in our mother's womb. That is number one. That is above everything the most important relationship. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all of us like sheep have gone our own way. Every one of us came into this world and the attitude of our heart, the attitude of our life and our mind was, I know what I want to do. And we've heard the gospel, we heard the Bible being preached, and yet we would say in our own heart, I know what God says, but I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. In fact, I'm going to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to live life the way I want to live it. And when I disobey God, the Bible says that is the sin of rebellion. And I have taken a step against my relationship with Him. And that has been true in my life from the moment of my conception. And it puts me in conflict with Him. And so I came into this world in conflict with my Creator. And yet there is a Father in heaven who is a God who loves us. Can you say amen to that? There's a God who loves you. He loves you. No matter what we've done, no matter how many times we've done it, no matter how bad it is, what we did, there is a God who loves us. Listen to His heart. The heart of our Father, Romans 5, verse 6. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God, the Father, shows His love for us. How? In that while we were still sinners, alienated from Him, doing our own thing, having no thought about Him, Christ died for us. And here's the truth in your outline, guys. God doesn't want you and me to live disconnected from Him and at death be barred from heaven. You hear me? God wants you to be able to come home. God wants to share heaven with you and me. God wants us to be with him. And going ahead in your notes, we can have peace with God and hope of heaven by relying on what Jesus has done for us. And so what the Bible says is peace with God comes only by way of the cross. Here's something interesting I want to share with you. A lot of world religions have what they call peace offerings. In other words, people give to their God certain things. When I've gone overseas and been in different countries, I've seen these places of worship, and I've seen people bringing certain things, and they call them peace offerings. And they give this and they give that in hopes of restoring a relationship with the Creator. You know, here in America, if you get into a relationship or in a conversation with somebody, you maybe will ask them, what I want to ask you is, are you going to heaven at death? Do you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? It's a great question to ask them. And invariably, what I'll hear, and I know this is what you have heard as well, what you'll hear back from them is, well, I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying my best to do good things. What does that translate into? Well, I'm making peace offerings to God. That's what they're saying. I'm seeking to make peace offerings with him. And the Bible says God has made the only road there is to peace and to hope of heaven when he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. He was the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. And my only way of getting peace with my Father is trusting in the cross. And the Father says, that's the only peace offering I will recognize. Don't be counting on you got a lot of good works, right? It's not that. It's the work of Christ on the cross. And so the question this morning would be, and this first one is, that you could answer, how would you answer the question? Is everything between me and Jesus all right? Is it? Do you know that you know that everything between you and the Lord is all right? I'll never forget while he was alive, and every now and then I'll still do that. I love listening to Dr. E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill was a black pastor, pastored a black Baptist church in Southern California. Loved the Lord, loved to hear that man preach the Word of God. Oh, he could preach. And if I wasn't already saved, I'd want to be saved after listening to him. He was just good. And I remember he told the story. He said, I was visiting in the intensive care ward of a hospital. And he said, I was visiting this church member. And he said, I went in and we had had our time together. And he said, it came time for me to get ready to leave. And he said, I knelt down beside her bed and took her hand. And he said, I was going to pray. And she said, no, Dr. Hill. She said, I don't want you to pray for God to heal me. And he said, I don't understand. He said, she said, Dr. Hill, I don't want you to ask God to heal me because you know I've already been here before. And you came in and you knelt beside my bed and you asked the Lord to heal me. And God heard your prayer. And he raised me up. He gave me health. And he's given me several more years. But here I am back here again. And she said, this time, I don't want you to ask God to save me. She said, Dr. Hill, I've been poked with needles all I want to. I've been in the hospital all I want to be in a hospital. I don't want to be here anymore because I'm ready, Dr. Hill, to die. Because don't you see? Everything between me and Jesus is all right. Amen. And she said, I'm ready to go. We never know when our last breath is going to come. And the thing at Christmas time that God wants us to do is make sure above everything else that everything between us and him is all right. And so we need this peace with God that comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. But number two, we need peace within, and that's emotional peace. Peace within me. The Bible has a word for it. It's called peace with God. I'm sorry, peace of God. The peace of God. We've got peace with God through the Lord Jesus. We get the peace of God that comes because of our relationship. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, when you notice it says, let it rule in your heart. In other words, let the peace of God dominate you. Provide the emotional stability. The word for peace in the Bible in Hebrew is the word shalom. And shalom in the Hebrew is more than just a ceasing of war. It means when I have shalom in my walk with God, I have well-being. When I have shalom, I have the happiness that comes only from Him. It's not about my circumstances. It's about what's going on within me. When I have shalom, I have harmony, that I'm okay in this world. And so peace from God is the knowledge that I have God's watch care in my life. There are over 70 verses in the Bible about the peace of God. And I give them to you. I think they're in your word. There is, first of all, for a broken heart, there is comforting peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why am I not fearful? Because I know that my Lord has promised me, I will be with you. You don't have to be afraid. You can have the peace of God. Why? I am with you. I will go before you. I will be your rear guard. I will be on either side of you. You can live in peace. Isn't that good news? And then for a confused heart, and all of us get confused from time to time, there is the guiding peace of God, that God says, here's the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, verse 18 and 21. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. You will hear a voice. What is the grace of God? It is when you are confused. You don't know what to do. You don't know what your next step needs to be. And you call out to Him, Lord, I need you. Here He says, the Lord waits. He wants to be gracious to you. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We learn to wait on God. One of the things I've learned in my walk with the Lord, God is seldom early. Have you noticed that? But He's never late. He is seldom early, but He is never late. He loves, He knows our situation, and when we look only to Him, He said, when you trust me, I will be there for you, and I will give you the wisdom about the step you need to take if you wait on me. King Saul didn't wait on Him, right? And he offered a sacrifice on his own instead of waiting for Samuel to come. And it totally messed up his life. And so God is saying, I want you to learn to wait on me. For a heart of shame, there's forgiving peace. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will what? Three things. If you will humble yourself before me, if you will seek my face, if you will turn from your wicked way, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sin, and I'll heal your land. There is nothing our Father cannot forgive us for. Isn't that good news? Nothing. But we call to Him. We humble ourselves. We're on our face before Him. Oh, God, I've blown it. I've messed up. I have hurt myself. I've hurt your name. Father, help me. And the Lord says, you come to me, and I will come to you. For a worried heart, there is confident peace. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in how much?
Everything,
by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I will be there for you. I will take care of you. The truth in your outline, God has a peace for every life problem. He has a peace for you and me in this troubled world we're in. And our Father's promised that those of us who walk with Him day to day, He will be with us. Listen to Hebrews 13, 5. He said, John, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I live in a world, and so do you, that is constantly changing. We don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? We don't know what's coming. The world is in a terrible shape right now. And there's so much turmoil and so much insecurity. And we're in this constantly changing world. We're in a place where people are constantly leaving. People are leaving families. People are leaving relationships. People are leaving through death. And God says, I will never leave you because you belong to me. He says, I will be your assurance in an unsure world. That is the peace of God. We're not alone. He's with us. And then finally, peace with others. And here's your truth. The more out of whack we are with God, the more out of whack we're going to be with other people. And here's what I want you to think about. Every one of us at one time or another are at odds with somebody. What do we need to do? We know, according to what God says, as much as within you is, live at peace with all men. What does that mean? It means that when things are not right between us and somebody, we need to be the first ones to move. Because this is what Jesus would do. This is what the Lord would do. And so if you want to strengthen your marriage, you get closer to God. If you're having difficulty with your husband or your wife, what's the primary need of your life? You need to draw closer to Him. You need to walk closer with Him. If you've got a strained relationship, what do you need to do? You get closer to the Lord. Then the inside of your outline, the closer you are to God, and the closer you are to God, and the closer your spouse and those around you are to God, the closer you're going to be to each other. That's what God is saying in the Word. What that means is, the further I am away from the Lord, the more relational stress Catherine and I are going to have. Does that make sense? And so, instead of just pointing the finger, why don't they try to make things right with me? God is saying, if you draw closer to me, I will help you draw closer to them. So how do we enjoy peace with God and peace with others? Number one, we need an aha moment. You need an aha moment. No one gets peace with God. No one has the peace of God who hasn't had an aha moment. What I simply mean is, those of us who came to faith in Christ came to faith in Christ because we had an aha moment with God. There was this time where God just opened up our eyes. And all of a sudden, we see things. We saw ourselves as we really are, not as we think we are. And so the inside your outline, God wants us all to have a moment of clarity. This is what Isaiah said, Isaiah 6 and 5. Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. Translation, I have had an aha moment. All of a sudden, I understand my situation. All of a sudden, the fog has cleared. And I see myself the way I really am. We see our life. We see our walk with others. We see our walk with God. Not as we have rewritten it. Not as we have made it out to be or colored it to make it look better. But the way that it is. In the Bible, the Christmas story. Joseph had wrong conclusions about Mary, didn't he? But you know what? He had an aha moment. And that was when the angel of God appeared to him, right? What was that? That's an aha moment. That is an eye-opening experience. And it's like all of a sudden, oh, now I see what the reality is. And then you've got the magi, those who came bearing gifts. Their life was going in the wrong direction until they saw the star. And then they started chasing that. They had this aha moment that redirected their lives. And every one of us needs this aha moment where we see our life as it is in the eyes of God and not how we think it is. We need that. We need it in our family. We need it in all of our relationships. Here's a question to consider. What have you swept under the carpet saying it's no big deal, but in the eyes of God and maybe in the eyes of someone you've offended, it is a big deal? But you just don't see that. When you have this aha moment, you stop blaming other people and you assume responsibility for your own unhappiness. I need to see it the way God sees it. And if you and I are living lives of daily stress and anxiety and fear and emotional fatigue and tension, don't kid yourself into thinking, well, that's just normal. That's the way everybody is. That's not necessarily. You're needing this aha moment. And the Bible says there is a pathway to a better life. Isaiah 48:18. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have flowed like a river. We need an aha moment of clarity. And this morning you can say, Father, help me see the way you see. God, show me, what do I need to do in my family? What do I need to do between myself and this friend? What do I need to do with regards to what's going on at work? And then number two, we need an attitude of humility. This aha moment, and we need this humility. The truth in your outline, God blesses humility. And if I want peace, if you want peace, James 4:6 says, God opposes the prideful, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace is the power of God to give us peace in our life. And the inside of your outline, God isn't moved. This is what I have learned. I've walked with God over 50 years. Of course, came to faith in him years before I became pastor here. And I'm a follower of the Lord. I know that in my heart. I have a relationship with him. But here's the insight that I have learned. God isn't moved by my whining. Lord, I'm your hired holy man here. I've sought to do your will. I want to do what's right. And this issue with myself and somebody else is just not right. And I need you to fix that. You know what I'm doing? I'm griping. That doesn't move God. God's not moved by that. He's not moved by my complaining. Humility alone moves the hand of God. And humility says, Father, I need you. Your ways are right. Your commands are good. Father, I can't do life without you. You know what the Father wants to see from me, for him to work in my life and your life? God's wanting humility, that we humble ourselves. Isaiah 26:12, Lord, grant peace, for all we have and all we are has come from you. When's the last time that you said that to the Father? God, everything I've got has come from you. Have you ever in a moment of humility just prayed and said, Father, I just want to admit everything I am and everything I have is because of you. I wouldn't be taking the next breath if it wasn't for you. There'd be no blood coursing through my veins. My heart would not be beating except you grant me life every day. And the next insight, we were made for God. And we were made by him. We were made to be loved by God. And God wants us to learn to love him back. And so all of us have to realize we are all broken. I'm broken and I am deeply flawed. And that's the reason why I don't have peace a lot of times in my life. That's why we have so much stress. That's why we can't solve our problems. We're broken. The next truth, nothing touches the heart of God to work in my broken life and yours like humility. Or just say, Father, I need you. And maybe this morning some of you need to be saying, Father, I want to be right with you. I want to know I'm coming home when I die. Or maybe what you want to say this morning is, Lord, I need your peace. I'm dealing with a lot of turmoil in my life. And God, I can't live without you. I just want you. I want you. If nothing changes, I just want you. But I'm asking for your peace. Or maybe what you need to say this morning is, Lord, I am so weary of being at outs with him, being at outs with her. And Father, I need you. Help me do what I need to do. I want there to be peace between us. And so I'm asking you to help me. I want to turn this situation over to you.